Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota's hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power, savings with style, and tons of top tech. Think you can stand in our way? Think again. Toyota Hybrids. Toyota. Let's go places.
Is your internet keeping up? It's time to upgrade your home with Verizon Home Internet. With plans starting at just $25 a month and leave surprise price hikes and hidden fees behind. Get fast and reliable internet for an incredible price with Verizon. Ditch cable and switch to Verizon Home Internet. Starting at $25 a month with auto pay and select 5G mobile plans. Availability varies. Plans start at $25 a month when combined with existing select 5G mobile plans and auto pay and paper-free billing. Fios requires mobile and home discount enrollment. $99 Fios setup charge may apply. Visit Verizon.com/home to learn more about 5G home, LTE home, and Fios.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Bulls Talk Podcast, brought to you by Toyota in our virtual podcast studio, powered by PointsBet. I am your host, Tony Gill, and along with me today is my friend, and he's my friend because I invited this guy to my wedding. So that's a very, very exclusive space, right? If you get invited to somebody's wedding. Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic covers the Bulls. Darnell, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Tony? And here's how you know I rock with you, because I not only did I show up, but I brought a gift. I believe I gave you and I took the time to give you and your lovely wife a gift. So yeah, man, it was a pleasure to be there and to celebrate with you all. So that was definitely a memory.
Thank you for coming through, man. But man, these Bulls, bro. Like, we got a couple topics that we're gonna get into today, in regards to the Bulls. I think the most pressing one and the first one that's at the top of mind for Bulls fans is Vooch. Vooch, he is going to be an unrestricted free agent. And it's been reported and rumored. I'm pretty sure you've heard similar things. Joe Cowley as well, Casey, that the Bulls are kind of want to give Vooch an extension of 3 years, of around 3 years. It seems to be what the amount of the length of the contract is. What in your dealings with the Bulls so far this offseason have you heard about their conversations with Nikola Vucevic?
Yeah, they've said from the start that they want to bring him back, and this, all of the reporting that you're referring to, would suggest that they're trying to make an attempt. The question I still have, Tony, is if Vooch wants to be here. And I think I've written it, I've talked about it, but I still probably don't believe it until I see it. And that's because the Bulls are coming off 40 wins. Vooch was the third option. And if he can potentially make as much or even just a slightly less somewhere else and have a chance of winning, I think that's a hard sell for Vooch. And so I'll believe it when I see it, when he re-signs here. And then the other thing is it the best thing for the Bulls? I'm not sure.
I mean, that therein lies the question. On last week's episode, I talked with Dan Bernstein and his son Jason from the Organization Wins Championships podcast. Go check that out. Very, very fun conversation if you guys haven't listened to it. But that in lines was the question. Is this the best thing for not only Vooch, but for the Bulls? Right? Like, because we've seen what this grouping, what this big three, quote unquote, has accomplished. And it's not much. It's not much. They had some great individual accolades, right? Vooch plays all 82, third in the league in double doubles, averaged a double double on the year. Again, DeMar, another all-star season. Zach LaVine, after, you know, getting over his injury, had himself, you know, kind of an all-star year, but it didn't lead to anything successful and sustainable. And they played a lot together. So if this is just a save face move because it seems like you might have got from Orlando, that, you know, if I don't know what it is, but when you look at it from a geometry on what they do on offense, does it do the Bulls any good? And what are you saying to him to convince him that it's going to be better, that it's going to change within this proposed 3 years? If they're saying like, hey, we can do this within 3 years, that is a tough sell to me if I'm Vooch.
Well, first off, there's no might of. They got by Orlando. Definitely no might of. But I do like the way you said the geometry of the offense, because that to me is where Vooch really shines, and he really is a fit for this Bulls team. How they use him and how they play off of him, I think, is the question that the Bulls have to answer and Billy Donovan has to address and figure out. But his passing, his floor spacing, his screen setting, all of the things that he does as a connector in the offense are extremely valuable traits that he brings to this team. And I can understand why the Bulls would want to bring him back to have those things. You can't just replace Vooch and expect to get all of what he brings offensively as a connector. So he does bring enormous value, but at what cost, and what are the flaws that you're trying to overcome to get that value? And can you downsize, maybe not, you know, in size, but can you downgrade a little bit and still get some of what you are getting in Vooch at half the cost if you go a different direction? So that to me is what I want to see the Bulls come out and figure out. If they do re-sign him, I think they need to use him more effectively and not just as the third banana behind DeRozan and LaVine every night. There are some nights where you should run everything through Vooch and utilize him more. And the fact that they weren't is the biggest thing that I feel might be holding Vooch up from re-signing whatever deal is thrown at him.
I mean, it's tough to see, because it seems like they tried that going into last season, right? Where Billy was like, hey, we want to be more unpredictable. We can't win off of these DeMar DeRozan game winners. Those are an anomaly. He said all the right things at the start of the season that they were going to try and change coming into this season. And it kind of reverted back to what they were doing before anyway. And I am a firm believer that Billy Donovan is more of a superstars coach. Whoever his best player is or are, he tends to lean towards that style of play, regardless of what the team necessarily needs. And in my opinion, and Dan said this in the last episode, I had the weekend to think about it, that if DeMar DeRozan is a fully formed player and he doesn't see that there's nobody else on this team that's going to go out and do it, is the only way to change the geometry of the offense is to trade DeMar DeRozan.
Yes. Because Billy's not going to take the ball out of his hands. And I don't think DeMar is going to change. I asked him at his season ending interview about the 3-point shot and how he feels he might need to incorporate it more. And his first answer was, you know, sort of a dismissal type of an answer, where he didn't think what anything he's doing is a problem. And I said, well, you know, it might work for you. And I followed up with him. You can go back and listen to that interview. I followed up with him and made it a point to say, yeah, that's great for you, but what about what's best for the team? And the fact of the matter is, every night, almost every night, they were getting outshot from the 3-point line, and that alone was determining the outcomes of games. And the Bulls can't do that next season. They got to go out and get some shooters, or they got to change some of the way they're playing, some of the style of which they're playing. They got to take more threes, and they have to be able to be more proficient when they take them. And I think a lot of that starts with DeMar. And it's not even so much he needs to take 3-4 more threes a game. I think he should increase his pace, and then perhaps, depending on who's on the roster, get off the ball a little bit more faster. Just not more, but faster as well. Because when you have the ball in his hands, he is an extraordinary offensive player who you know is going to be a high efficient scorer. But again, at what cost to the rest of the team? Can everyone else find their rhythm? Are you hunting three-point shots or is he hunting mid-range shots? So I think those are the areas where you have to look at DeMar DeRozan and say, if he's going to be one of our two leading scorers, how can we get him to incorporate what works for him best, but also what's best for the offense?
Darnell, you're with the team, and I want to piggyback and ask a question off that response. DeMar has been here for 2 years. What has been the difficulties of trying to work in a modern offense with DeMar DeRozan?
I think it's the fact that he is so efficient and that you know that he's a reliable source of offense. And so the easy thing is to give the ball to DeRozan and get out of the way. I think that's the natural instinct for coaches and for his teammates, because he is a five-time All-Star and he has this great reputation throughout his history in the league. It's natural to defer to him and to let him do most of the work and most of the heavy lifting. But when you're trying to build a team, when you're trying to build a competent playoff performing team, you need everyone. And, you know, we've seen for the last 2 years where everyone else is just not ready to perform when it matters most, and then they become overly reliant on DeMar DeRozan. So it's partly, I think, a fault of the coaches and the teammates, but then I think DeRozan also has to look himself in the mirror and say, yes, this is great for me. I'm incredibly successful, but how can I be better at making my teammates better and the team as a whole function a little bit more? A little bit better.
I'm very much interested to see if, because that needs to be the domino first is Vooch. Whatever happens with Vooch, that's the first domino and the first tail of what might happen. If he resigns, I think my brain will go, okay, they've convinced him that things are going to be different, Vooch sees that this is a winning situation. Now I'm thinking of, okay, what's next for DeMar and Zach? What's going to be their fate with this team if now that Vooch is returning? Because as much as it's been a source of, for our tourists, the word continuity has been the word that he's been kind of pushing up and propelling, it's becoming for the Bulls fan now more of an annoyance word. Because we've already, and that's the worst part, right? Is for the Bulls fan, they only want management to see what they see. Right? The Bulls fan is a smart fan base. They watch all the games. They want to have it recognized that you are seeing what we see and the same issues that we see. And to say continuity and to say we're going to run this back, which is probably the most likely situation, it doesn't feel like the fan is being heard that, hey, this isn't working. This specific group that you brought together to try and take advantage of, it isn't working, and it hasn't worked without Lonzo Ball.
There's only one way fans can really, truly make their voices be heard. Mm-hmm. I don't really advocate that because that affects, you know, all of us. But that's the way you make your voice heard. When you feel like the management and ownership isn't listening, there's one way to get their attention.
There is. There's only one way. Now, I mentioned the Lonzo Ball factor because the Bulls need a point guard. And they need a leader as well at the point guard position. Hopefully that it comes from that point guard position. So I guess my next question, Darnell, is with Lonzo likely out, how can they address the position, and what do you think they will do to address the point guard position?
I don't know. I'm sorry, Tony. I don't know. And that's why I'm just counting down the days until July, because Arturis can say all he wants, and I don't care what he says or doesn't say. I care about what he does. Hmm. And the last 13 months, you know, to the end of the season, he didn't do anything. He did very little, I should say, and on a technicality. He did very little. And so now he, I don't think he can come back and do next to nothing. I understand they have salary cap restraints. I understand that they have, you know, they don't have their draft pick, and their roster is pretty top heavy, but you know, with salaries, but you know, they got to find a way, because this continuity that you're talking about, I'm curious to see if they are bold enough to try to bring this back and expect it to work. It's one thing to say we're going to bring them back and you know, just because you have to, out of obligation or because of necessity, you're strapped and you can't do much. It's another thing to bring them back and fully expect that you're going to compete. Mm-hmm. Now they might, and I could have egg on my face in December or January, or, you know, but I don't see that happening. We, like you said, this three man unit of LaVine, DeRozan, and Vucevic have played a lot of basketball together, and we've seen what it looks like. You're not going to be able to go out and get a ton of complementary pieces that are going to raise the level of performance from this group. So to me, you have to trade one of those guys or be comfortable letting up one of them walk and plugging in some newer pieces, some younger pieces, more athletic pieces, some shooters. But to come back with the same thing and expect a different result literally is insanity.
From what I kind of gathered, if they don't actively, aggressively, you know, make a move to get a point guard in position, it seems like, you know, whatever happens with Kobe, he's a restricted free agent. I'm assuming that the Bulls are going to match and have him back. I don't know if they're going to be able to bring back both Kobe and Io. One thing I do know, that Io starting at point guard did not work. And Kobe got a lot better this offseason. Do you think that they would entrust that role to Kobe as the lead starting point guard for this team next year?
I'm going to say no, because of what I've seen from Billy Donovan. He just doesn't seem like he trusts Kobe White to be the starting point guard. And that might be more, he feels like Kobe White is a scorer or shooter off the bench. It might be he feels like he wants some sort of firepower in the second unit, or maybe even a secondary ball handler in Kobe White in the second unit. But just for whatever reason, Billy Donovan just doesn't seem, and I shouldn't say whatever reason, Kobe had his ups and downs as a point guard as well. But you're right, he made tremendous improvements going into this season, and we saw those, especially as the season wore on this season. So I think he is putting himself in a position to come for that spot. But, you know, he still has a long way to go defensively. He made some strides this season, but you don't want him next to LaVine. And then, you know, that's just an easy excuse for Billy Donovan to say, no, Kobe's not quite the right fit there. But, you know, he is putting himself in a position to make a case for that spot. Certainly if the Bulls aren't able to go out and get another starting caliber point guard.
And along with that, they bring in, obviously last season, Patrick Beverley, because they were in dire need of a starting point guard. But not only that, it was what the intangible factor that was lacking in this locker room, of a real true leader to galvanize everyone, to get everybody at least pulling in the same direction for the most part. I thought Pat did that to the best as he could, just dropping in mid-season to get that to go. But he isn't the long-term answer, and was never going to be the long-term answer. They tried to bargain out a leader from the bargain bin in the buyout market, which it seems like that is a lot of the crux of their issue, is not having a guy to tell guys, no, at that time, no, DeMar, you're not getting it there. Vooch has the mismatch. No, Zach, you're not gonna stand and try and make decisions because his IQ isn't where you thought it was gonna be in terms of what he does at the end of games. They didn't have that guy, and they didn't have that understanding, that self-awareness. And I think a leader provides that. You see what Jimmy is doing with the Heat. There's a lot of self-awareness going on about what am I good at and what I'm not good at. Stick to what I'm good at, and that will help the team win. There wasn't a lot of that in Chicago, Darnell, in my opinion. And then when they tried to get it, they tried to get it with Patrick Beverley. So that being said, I guess my question is, where can they find that? And it's usually in the point guard, but it's not, doesn't have to be the point guard. But there wasn't a leader amongst this group with three all-star type players on their team. Where are they going to find that to fix that issue? Because I think at its core, at least for the roster's sake, that was more of the main issue than trying to find a point guard. You know, of course they need shooting, but I think at its core and at its base, they just didn't have a leader to get everybody going in the same pace.
And the problem is, there's not that many guys like that in the league. I mean, there's only a handful of Patrick Beverleys who are going to come in and say whatever to DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. So if the Bulls are looking to replicate that in someone cheaper, good luck to them, because it doesn't, I don't think that player exists. You know, a guy who I keep coming back to, and Bulls fans probably will hate this, but Reggie Jackson, you know, he's just on the bench in Denver. He might be getting a ring here in the next few weeks. And he's got experience. You know, he's been a starting point guard. He commands the offense when he plays. He over dribbles a lot, but
yeah.
He knows how to get guys in position. And he's far from a perfect fit. Don't get me wrong. He's not a great player. He's not a perfect fit, but he is someone who can come in and at least orchestrate and organize your offense. And that's what they need. Like you said, Io wasn't that. Kobe is not that. Caruso is not that. Mm. And as long as Lonzo is out, you know, the Bulls don't have that. So if you can go out and get someone on the cheap like a Reggie Jackson, again, I am not sitting here professing that he's the perfect fit or, you know, but based on what they have, the resources available to them, those are the types of players that they're going to have to take a hard look at, because you can do one of two things. You can take a hard look at flawed, you know, aging players like Reggie Jackson, or you can go with Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White and take your chances there. I don't think either one of them are ideal, but this is the position the Bulls have put themselves in.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
One thing that, to piggyback off that, one thing that Jason Goff mentions a lot is he felt, I guess, kind of disappointed that even in those spots in the games before Patrick Beverley, and even now, right, that Billy Donovan, this coaching staff, understanding that they didn't have a defined starter at point guard, that they didn't really empower who did play point guard for them to actually be a leader, make those decisions amongst the group, and empower that player individually. Would they be able to do that? Well, in terms of Billy Donovan, if, you know, it's going to be tough picking, so trying to find a point guard, will they be able to empower Kobe White or empower Ayo, whoever they feel like would be the best option to start at point guard position, to actually take on that role? They say, hey, this is your team. You're going to make those decisions for us out there on the court. Or are the dynamics between Billy and the players and then the players themselves just too strained for that dynamic shift to happen?
You know, you mentioned Ayo, and I'm so curious about what happened with Ayo last season, because he did not have a great sophomore season. And I'm wondering how much of that had to do with confidence. And I've written at The Athletic how Billy Donovan – Ayo is kind of Billy Donovan's whipping boy. And he just is always on IO for whatever reason. And I'm saying, this guy is a player who is going to go out and do whatever you ask him to do. He's going to give you his all. And he's going to, like, no one's trying to make mistakes. He's learning. So why be so hard on him? And I believe, this is just my opinion, that a lot of that riding Ayo Dosunmu kind of negatively impacted him last season. And he's not the first player who had to go through it. Kobe White went through that as well in his first few seasons here. So, you know, I think the Bulls need to do a better job of empowering their players, especially their young players. Dalen Terry is going through the same thing. There's no reason Dalen Terry should have played, you know, 200-something minutes, whatever it was, as a rookie, especially with some of the injuries that this team had. But if they empower these guys more, you can't tell me that what Ayo Dosunmu did as a rookie, second-round draft pick, going into Boston, having a perfect shooting night, guarding Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those are things that were special for him as a rookie. I think he might be the best bet as the starter moving forward if they aren't able to figure out a temporary solution going into next season, because Ayo does a lot of things well that this team can benefit from. The way he gets downhill, the way he plays defense, the way he's unselfish and kicks and gets teammates involved, the way he encourages, and he is sort of that leader as a young player. We've seen that with DeRozan. So, but they have to empower him. They have to instill confidence in him and not allow that to drop off again like they did this season. If they let him go, I think it'll be a huge mistake. You talked about either Kobe or Ayo. I would try to figure out a way to get both of those guys back, because Kobe is coming into his own. And I believe what we saw out of Ayo as a rookie bodes well for what he's going to do moving forward in his career. I would not use what he did in his second season as a barometer or the end-all, be-all judge of what he's capable of.
I got a question about that, just to follow up on Ayo. But first, I got to read this. Huddle up, because it's time to feel the power with PointsBet. With PointsBet Power Hour, you can get boosted odds or bonus bets every single day, whether you're into hoops or hockey, home runs or hole-in-ones, the power is in your hands. And new customers will receive up to $1,000 in second chance bets. That's 10 straight days of second chances where PointsBet will match your losing wager in bonus bets. Download the PointsBet app today using code SHITALK10, C-H-I-T-A-L-K-10, PointsBet, your move. Now, Darnell, you mentioned the IO thing, and I thought that was very interesting about what you saw with how Ayo was being coached up. When his play started to go down, was there an attempt, or in your opinion, was there an attempt from the coaching staff to kind of reel him back in to get him back to playing on par that we saw in his rookie season?
Yeah, I'll give Billy Donovan credit for always being in his ear and always talking to him, like you said, coaching him up. But at what point do you just let the guy play, you know, and say, maybe I'm giving him too much? Maybe, and I don't think it's too much for Ayo. I think he can handle whatever's thrown. He's a very mature individual. He's very smart. His basketball IQ is high. So I believe he can handle what's being thrown at him. But that doesn't mean that it's not overkill. At some point when you're teaching, you got to understand when the student gets it and when to back off. And I don't think Billy Donovan ever backed off. And that's, to me, the problem. You have to be able to know when to say when and just kind of let, especially younger players, play freely. You got to put them into some sort of structure. And they did. But at some point, you got to say, all right, let's let them play and go figure it out instead of continuing to bombard them with information. And I just think at some point that became too much like overload for Ayo, where he became an overthinker and probably destroyed a little bit of his confidence.
You think that was a symptom of them trying to push the gas with wins, where the development aspect of this franchise is in dire need of is real true player development versus trying to do it at the same time as making a run to the playoffs. How did you see their attempt to try and balance that out? Obviously, they weren't successful, right? We still have questions about Patrick Williams. I don't think on this podcast we've talked about Patrick Williams in like 3 weeks or something like that. But the truth is, I didn't see personally a lot of development this season. I didn't see a lot of things that fans can kind of grasp to that say, okay, he's a build-around guy for the future. But also, like you mentioned, it did hurt Ayo to a certain point. Where did you see, if any, that balance of them trying to develop as they go to pursue a potential playoff spot?
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time with this question. I don't want to be unfair to the Bulls, especially their player development focus. But I just think that there were opportunities to let some of the young guys, to empower some of the young guys a little bit more, let Patrick Williams bring the ball up. And they did that to a degree. Let Ayo run point, especially when Lonzo Ball's not in the lineup, let Dalen Terry play. But there are so many examples of how the Bulls could have been better. But then when you also realize that they do have DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Nikola Vucevic, that's a hard, fine line to walk. And it's very difficult to get right. You mentioned it. They were trying to win at the same time that they have some young players to try to develop. And that's very difficult. But that's why I feel like they should have picked a lane and said, we're either going to trade some of these young guys and get some veterans to try to win. I think that would have been a mistake, but at least they would have made a decision. Or trade some of the veterans and get some young guys in here and retool, take a step back, and hopefully you get some assets to build forward with. And instead, they tried to accomplish both and failed at both. And so now we're talking about what can they possibly do this summer outside of continuity to make to have a better season next year. And sitting here in early June, it's just hard to see them being able to do that.
As we wrap up, Darnell, another aspect that the Bulls need to get better at is that the shooting factor. And outside of, Zach LaVine, who is a really, really good three-point shooter, DeMar is not so great at even attempting the three-point shot. There wasn't a lot of consistent enough shooting going on, and it showed in their attempts. And they weren't too bad percentage-wise, but it's just getting them up was the biggest issue. Are there any options for them to find a shooter? There's, this free agent class isn't super strong. Max Strus, he's up for a contract. He's going to probably get a bigger deal than the Bulls can afford. It just seems like they're going to be trying to figure out who's in the bargain basket of shooters to try and round out this roster.
Furkan Korkmaz. Come on, man. I'm trying to get the chat going. I'm trying to get the guy's just wasting away on the bench in Philly. He's 25 years old. He only makes about $5 million next year. I feel like that's just an easy piece to go get. If you're trading for him, he doesn't make a lot of money, and he's like a 36% career three-point shooter. And he kills the Bulls, so maybe coming to the United Center will make him feel right at home. But that, to me, is the type of player that I think the Bulls should be targeting because he's relatively young, because he is a really good shooter, and because he's out of favor with his current team. I mean, that's someone you would think that the Bulls should be able to go and get. So, just look at players like that who can come in, be had for relatively cheap, and come in and potentially make an impact. I am dying to see what happens with him in Philly because he is a real talent in terms of shooting the ball, and he could really help the Bulls.
My final question on that is, even if they do get a couple shooters, does that, if DeMar stays, if the rest of the team kind of stays similar to the same, would that improve their style of play? Would that change the, like we mentioned earlier, the geometry of how they play when the big pieces are still in place?
I think so. I mean, they're generating open threes and they're missing them. And so if you can get the ball into a really bona fide shooter's hands and he can make them, that changes everything. But it starts there. And that's the most disappointing thing about what Arturis Karnachovas and his staff did, you know, not going out and trying to find those hidden gems, those fringe rotation guys who can come in and just be a spark. This team desperately needs those types of players. And there are a few of those guys out there like that. And then, unless they're going to be active and make trades and be bold to a degree, they're going to continue to preach continuity. But, you know, it's time for them now to go out and make moves and bring in some players like that who can help. And if they don't, I mean, this is just going to be a sad season next year, Tony, if they continue to bring back continuity. I'm saying it now.
Darnell, before we let you go and head out, I have to, when you have to mention Money Talks Substack. Now, if you guys aren't familiar, Darnell is not just a basketball writer. He is a financial minded person that wants to help people get their minds in focus and their finances ready to go. And he's doing it with his daughter. So it's a family focus. It's a very, very interesting, informative, and intelligent way of discussing finances with your family to create, help, and generate generational wealth for your kids and grandkids and stuff like that. So, Darnell, could you give us a little bit on the Money Talk Substack?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking, Tony. I appreciate it. It's a financial literacy journal. I'm chronicling me and my daughter's everyday decisions. She's 9 at the time. And so these are topics that aren't discussed in school. I asked her over Memorial Day weekend how much she's learning about money. She just finished 3rd grade. They just got out of school where she is. And she held up a hand and did this to form a zero, you know. And so I will be pleasantly surprised if that changes for her in 4th grade next year. I doubt it will. And so who's left to teach these very valuable, important lessons to our children? It's us as parents. We are supposed to do that. And so if we don't, we're not equipping them with the necessary tools that they need to face this world, in real world situations. Everything we do revolves around money. And so just having those money talks with her and trying to share transparently as much as I can with the audience and saying, these are the things, these are the steps that we're taking to not just build our financial foundation, but it's more about health and wellness. Because when everything else is in line and in order, then we greatly reduce the amount of stress and strain and pressure, everyday things that we're faced with when we have our lives in order. And so that's what I'm really trying to get across, starting with my daughter and then anyone else who wants to join our journey. We welcome them. We want to become stronger financially together.
Look, guys, I don't know what's more meaningful, you know, right now than talking about with your children about financial literacy to help them. My dad, we discussed about money and make sure, you know, the general terms, right? Don't spend more than you have and stuff of that nature, but really get into the weeds of it. I don't know if he had the bandwidth, you know, for that. And that's okay. Every generation learns. I'm going to be a father soon. So this conversation, as soon as, you know, my daughter is ready to understand, you know, some of these things, like I'm going to get right along. I'm already thinking about that future for my kids and where I want them to be. I don't want them to, you know, start from the bottom, you know, that's a cool song, right? Start from the bottom. Now we, started from the bottom, now we're here. Like, I want to give them a nice platform to grow from as they, you know, start their own families and stuff like that. So this is very, very important. You guys make sure you check out Money Talks, all right, with Darnell Mayberry and his daughter. She also came to my wedding. Very, very nice, nice.
She got to dance with Will Perdue.
Yeah, right. Darnell, we appreciate you, man. You can find Darnell Mayberry at The Athletic. Make sure you check out what he's writing and what he's up to. He's always got something interesting going on. He went a little viral this offseason too with his secret extension talk. but Darnell, thank you for joining, man. We appreciate
you having me, Tony. Thank you.
All right, you guys, thank you for checking out the Bulls Talk podcast, brought to you by Toyota in our virtual podcast studio powered by PointsBet. We're gonna catch you guys later this week. Casey is back from vacation, so he's gonna join us. Jason Goff is back as well. We're gonna have a good time talking Bulls and keep you guys updated over the course of this offseason about what is going on. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheTonyGill. Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, share with your friends. This is the best Bulls Talk podcast out there. So please go check it out. Rate 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars. And we'll catch you guys next time. Peace.